any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
CINN stations in all salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against it, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comfort of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into a search engine, point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from CINN stations in Ault, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women and thanking them for their triumphs and their sacrifices. Restore Health and Counseling salutes the men and women in uniform who've answered the call for our freedoms. Let's give them the hero's welcome they deserve as they have fought hard to restore peace. America's troops are our angels of protection, so stand up and salute them proudly. That's from Restore Health and Counseling at 4705 Paris Street, serving Northeast Denver with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescents to adult and for private as well as professional drug, alcohol screening and treatment and rehabilitation. Visit us at www.rhctherapy.com or call 303-373-1188.
Well, good morning. Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and this morning we're going to have as our guest Pastor David Whitney talking about our Constitution. Let me suggest to you that if you have not read the latest concept, presentation by John Williams of ShadowStats.com on hyperinflation, it's entitled Hyperinflation, January 2012. And the first time I've had a chance to read it, it's only been available to people who subscribe to the publication, just this last couple of weeks. Prior to that, it was only for the people who were part and parcel of his movement. But today, you can actually go to his website and pull it down. It is vitally important that you read this to understand that America's economic system is on the verge of collapse. Our real debt is $81 trillion. Now, that's the federal government's deficit. If you use generally accepted accounting principles, they will tell us, of course, our national debt is in the neighborhood of $16 trillion. They're simply lying, as they lie about everything. But, of course, the real situation is $81 trillion debt with all the responsibility that we now have currently due for Social Security, Medicare, and the loans we've taken out, the loan money we've borrowed, our other definite commitments, which is part and parcel of the very structure of our current government. And for all intents and purposes, we're bankrupt. The system's going to collapse. You need to read this treatise. It's called Hyperinflation 2012. And the reason we're in the mess we are today is because we've turned our back on our Constitution, which required that gold and silver be the basis of the monetary system of the states, which was the monetary system of our nation. Well, to talk about our Constitution, which was an ingenious document made to limit the power of the central government so men could be free, but the people who wanted a dictatorship have step by step undermined that Constitution, prevented the Constitution being taught in our schools, I mean the real Constitution, or certainly even taught in law schools. Most lawyers have never read or studied the Constitution. They study case law, but they're not allowed to read or study the Constitution because the last people the Brotherhood of Darkness want to understand the Constitution is the lawyers of this land, and certainly they don't want the people to understand. And that is why the Institute was formed, to teach people about the Constitution, and that, of course, we are on the path to a brutal and ruthless dictatorship, as has happened to every nation as they've centralized power. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely everyone. And unfortunately, almost everyone in Washington, D.C. is either corrupted and or afraid to speak out, because if you are a government employee and you tell the truth, they'll put you in prison or worse. And by worse, I mean they'll kill you. And they do kill people. They have professional government assassins. I've interviewed them. You can hear the interviews on my 4-CD set, Deadly Assassins, where I interview several assassins, and they talk about their assignments to kill people here in America. If this happens, why doesn't Rush Limbaugh tell you? Because Rush Limbaugh would lose his job. And he does a good job bringing people from the far left to the middle. But our job is to tell them the truth and bring them the rest of the way to understanding what's going on. So with us this morning, Pastor David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution. And we're going to be talking about the most unique document in the world, a document which people throughout the rest of the world look to, not only to save America, but to save the world, because when America goes down, then the rest of the world will be plunged into darkness as well. Pastor David Whitney, you pick up the story.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. It's a blessing to be with you on the air, and we thank you for the great work you're doing and exposing what the evil people are doing. And you're absolutely right. The reason why they are getting away with the evil they're doing is that we've lost our founders' sense of what law and government is. That, very simply put, the founders' view of law and government, there is a creator God, our rights come from him, and the sole purpose, and you can underline that word soul, the sole purpose of human civil government is to protect and secure those God-given rights. Not to redistribute your wealth, not to see that you're wearing your seatbelt when you're driving, not to determine how much water you flush down your toilet. None of those things are the purpose of government. It is limited to just securing your God-given rights. And so when we look at our founding documents, we discover an entirely different worldview that they were coming from. And indeed, when we look at our Constitution itself, our Constitution is, I think, a good picture of what it looks like. It's a vise that you use in the workshop to hold a piece of wood in place while you're going to saw it or do some other function to that piece of wood. And the jaws of the vise, that is, our Constitution is designed to be a restrictive document telling civil government, federal civil government, these are the only things you can do. The jaws of that vise that are supposed to hold our federal government in check, hold it in place, is Article 1, Section 8. Article 1, Section 8, if you don't study and memorize any part of the Constitution, perhaps this is the most important part to have, because it gives 18 things in that list, and some would debate and say it's 17, and 18 is a nice round number, but the 18 things on the list that we, the people, have given permission to our agent, that is, the federal government, we've given permission for the federal government to do these 18 things, nothing more, nothing outside. These are the jaws of the vise that are supposed to hold our federal government in check. And we've looked at some of these in the programs previously, just to review them quickly. They can tax and spend for payment of debts, common defense, general welfare. They can borrow money. They can regulate commerce with foreign nations, with Indian tribes, and among the several states. That is, cross-border transactions, not intrastate, that is, within the state itself. Then they can make rules for naturalization and rules for bankruptcy. They can coin money and regulate the value, fix weights and measures. And we talked a little about that last time, and that's an extremely important function. It says coin, not print. That is, fiat currency we're currently under is completely unconstitutional.
Hold that, David. Hold that. We'll be back in just a moment.
Thank you.
As the American.
Have you been dreaming of new kitchen cabinets? Maybe you want to reface or repair your current ones but think it's too expensive. Are you on a budget but know you need to maximize and organize the storage space in your home, basement, or workplace? What about you gun enthusiasts who would like a customized display cabinet? Or those emergency preppers who want a hidden storage unit designed for that unique space? Whether you want quality custom design cabinets, specialty woodwork, or budget repairs, Custom Cabinet Shop can help you with whatever you need. High-end or low-end, remodel, reface, or replace. This family-owned and operated business since 1980 will help you design just about any project. Call 303-340-1390. That's 303-340-1390. Find us on Facebook for your free quote and single on-site visit. Service area is limited.
We're talking today with Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb. Tom, what makes The Green Herb different?
First is our health analysis. I know of no other company that will take the time necessary to suggest an in-depth herbal program especially for you. And we do it at no charge or obligation. Also, we manufacture all of our products right in the Wheat Ridge facility. This way we can assure you that you're getting the highest quality products available. Last is our guarantee. If you don't think our products are the finest, most potent herbal products available, just return the bottle and we'll exchange it or refund your purchase price. We can do the analysis at The Green Herb, over the phone, or online at www.thegreenherb.com. Call today and set an appointment for your free health profile at 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or come by our store on the north side of I-70 Frontage Road, 1 mile west of Kipling.
Well, and our guest this morning, David Whitney. We're talking about the Constitution. David, pick up the story.
Well, thank you. Yes, and our founders knew the grave danger that was involved in printing fiat currency, because during the era of the Articles of Confederation, the former federal government, you might say, before our Constitution was ratified, during that era, they had a currency called the Continental. Well, they printed this currency into oblivion, into worthlessness. It was worth, at the low point, less than a penny on a dollar. And that's where the phrase worthless as a continental came in. And they therefore said, we're going to eliminate fiat currency by this new constitution. Well, 100 years ago, the wicked rulers who desired to destroy our form of government implemented the Federal Reserve Act, and then they can move forward to beginning to debase and then de-link our currency from gold and silver. And so now we are completely at unconstitutional adrift from true sound money. And this is one of the desperate needs of our time, as you were saying at the beginning of the show, that hyperinflation is heading our way because of this fiat currency and printing up trillions and trillions of dollars each year currently. Well, in addition to coining money, the next on the list of 18 is to punish counterfeiting. Now, here's an irony of ironies. The federal government is charged with being the policeman who ensures that the currency we are using is sound. That is, you don't debase the gold, you don't debase the silver, and yet they are the ones who are the counterfeiters in this case. Well, actually, they have given power to the Federal Reserve to be the counterfeiting body that is robbing us blind. So instead of doing what they are obliged to do by the Constitution, guarding our national economy, instead they are destroying our national economy and stealing the wealth of the American people. They have become the counterfeiters instead of those who choose to do their constitutional duty and punish the counterfeiters. Irony of ironies. Well, beyond that, the list continues with that they are to establish post office and post roads. And again, in that day, this is a very important element in creating economic powerhouse that would move our country forward in a day where it was very difficult to get communication and transportation. This was a great aid to that. Obviously, in our day, it's far less important. If you go to the post office, as I just did yesterday, you usually stand in line every single time I'm there. It doesn't seem to be run very efficiently, and of course we know it's completely bankrupt today. The next item on the list of 18 is to establish rules for copy and patents. This said that they recognized that God had given people property rights that extend beyond just a physical piece of property, the idea of intellectual property, an author who wrote a book, or an inventor who developed a new invention, that they would have a right to their intellectual property just as they would have right to a physical piece of property, real estate, and so on. And this was a valuable contribution. It meant, actually, many of the smartest and brightest people in Europe decided to move to this country because they saw that their intellectual property would be protected, whereas in Europe it would not have been protected in that day. And then number 8 on the list of 18 is that they were, that is, Congress is, to establish the federal courts below the Supreme Court. There's only one federal court that is absolutely required by our Constitution to exist, and that is the United States Supreme Court. Below that, all the federal courts, whether the Federal Circuit Court or the lower courts beneath each of the circuit, each of those is at the beck and call of Congress in terms of its creation, in terms of its discipline, in terms of every aspect of its function, is to be governed by Congress by design, because they recognized that the federal judiciary was to be the weakest of the three branches of government. Today that's been turned on its head, and of course we know the federal judiciary is probably the strongest of the three branches of government. Well, number 9 on the list of 18 is to define and punish piracy and felonies on high seas, violations of the laws of nations. And this says that our founders recognized that God's law, given in God's word, which they stated was the laws of nature, nature's God, that God's law applies not just to the nation or the country that was created by our Declaration of Independence, and this being a subsequent founding document. It's not, God's law just doesn't apply to these United States. God's law applies to every nation on earth, and it applies to a Mohammedan nation, such as Saudi Arabia. The fact that Saudi Arabia doesn't obey God's law doesn't change the idea that they're supposed to be. They're required by God to obey, and God will hold them in judgment, of course, for disobeying his law. But they were saying, therefore, we could develop a law of nations, and they were grateful to Grotius and Pufendorf and Vattel and others who had written and develop theories of the law of nation based upon God's word, the laws of nature, and nature's God. And they were adhering to this, saying, well, when there's a conflict or when there's a dispute between two nations, both of those nations need to resolve that dispute by turning back to the laws of nature and nature's God, looking at what the Bible says regarding what would be just in a conflict that took place at sea, and how would that be resolved, and so on. So it's very interesting to see that our founders understood that it wasn't just our country that's under God's law, but every country is under God's law. And again, that goes back to the American view of law and government, that there is a creator God, our rights come from him, and the sole purpose of civil government is to protect and secure those God-given rights. And that this is true not just of these United States, it's true of every nation on earth as well. And speaking of interactions between nations, that leads us to number 10. It's the duty of Congress to declare war, as well as grant letters of marque and reprisal, which is authority that is given to commercial ship captains to seize foreign ships. And they were also given in this number 10 to make rules concerning captures on land and on water. First note, it's only Congress that gets to declare war. Never the president, and the Congress cannot give their authority to declare war to another branch of government. They can't say, well, the Supreme Court can declare war and we won't declare war. Or the executive, the president can declare war and we won't declare war. Yet essentially that's what they did in granting in 2001, after 9/11, granting power to use force. Well, power to use force is not a declaration of war. And by the way, a declaration of war means that you're actually identifying who the enemy is. It's another nation state in the world that you're declaring war against. Well, what's happened in 2001? What did we declare war on? We didn't declare war on any nation. Instead, they said we're at war against terrorism. Well, wait a minute. Terrorism is a tactic of the enemy. Terrorism is not an enemy specifically, it's a tactic of the enemy. So the odd thing here is that we're now in some war on terror with an undefined enemy. So, well, it's Al-Qaeda. Well, what's Al-Qaeda? It's the list that the CIA drew up, and actually most of them are CIA assets to begin with. It's just insanity there. But, we've declared war supposedly. Well, no, they haven't declared war. We've said we're going to be at war against terror, and we're going to grant the president power to use force, all of which is unconstitutional. The entire war on terror is unconstitutional. If they wanted to declare war, they needed to identify a specific enemy. I don't agree with all the, you know, accusations as to who was actually on board, which ship, which airplane crashed, and all that stuff. But supposedly, if that list we've been given is accurate, which is questionable, but if it was accurate, it's Saudi Arabia that we should be declaring war on, because most of the people on that list were Saudi Arabian citizens. So why didn't we declare war on Saudi Arabia instead of attacking Iraq and so on? It's all, again, it's through the looking glass. What should have been our response to the attacks of 9/11? I think Congressman Ron Paul had it correct when he said we should be using the next part of this clause in Article 1, Section 8, that granting letters of marque and reprisal. That is, if it was some turban-headed Mohammedan hiding out in a cave that truly attacked us on 9/11, then to grant a letter of marque and reprisal would be to recognize it wasn't a government. It wasn't the government of Afghanistan, or it wasn't the government of Iraq, or any other government that attacked us. It was individuals. It was, so to speak, pirates. Individuals acting in military fashion against us, that we need to go after, therefore, the individuals, not the other nation states. And that's exactly what letters of marque and reprisal. Of course, on the ocean, it would be that you have power to capture these pirates, and these pirates you could capture and take them captive or do acts of war against them. But the letters of marque and reprisal are very specific as to who the targets are. You can't go to war against every ship on the ocean. You can only go to war against these specific pirates. And this was used in the war with the Barbary pirates there in the Mediterranean early on in the history of our country, and used effectively. Letters of marque and reprisal would have been the constitutionally appropriate response, as Congressman Ron Paul suggested, but of course he was the only one voicing any constitutional opinion at that time, and they went off and did whatever they pleased. But this would have been the proper
David,
way.
With marque and reprisal, can they employ private people to actually bring the culprits to before the bar of justice, or private groups then to go after them rather than the U.S. military? How does that marque and reprisal actually work? I thought sometimes
it would involve the
private corporations to do this, and they would be paid accordingly. What does it really mean?
It does involve private individuals. Let's deal with the simple illustration of, say, the Barbary pirates, where private individuals, privateers, that is, the captain of the ship becomes, in a sense, the head of this military force that is his ship, that has letters of marque and reprisal against specific other pirate ships, which he is free to attack, which he is free to capture, and take the spoils of in an act of conflict. However, he has no authority to act outside of those specific targets that Congress has granted to him, and therefore, if he does act outside of that, he is punishable, because basically Congress is making the rules concerning his activity on the sea, that he can do these certain actions against these specific targets, and he's functioning as a privateer empowered by Congress. He's not part of the military officially. And he's not, so he's not a branch of the Navy or a branch of any of the military. He's a private individual running a private ship. So you would say on land, and again, this historically has not been used on land as it has been used on sea, and so we don't really have any precedent of how this has been acted upon. But on land, it would seem to imply the same thing, that a private band of soldiers, but they are not a branch of the military. They are given these letters of marque and reprisal, and obviously say they're going into Afghanistan. It's a little more difficult on land than it is at sea, because at sea, obviously, there's no government that is ruling all of the seas. So on land, then, those letters of marque and reprisal would need to be presented to the government of Afghanistan in this case, and say, okay, we're entering your country and asking permission of the government of Afghanistan to enter your country to go after these specific targets within your country. And so in a sense, you almost say, well, we're really asking permission for that government, from that government, to do a job that government is not willing to do. They're not willing to go after that turban-headed Mohammedan hiding in a cave in their own country. Maybe it's too politically dangerous or or costly for them to do so, whatever reason, they're not going to do it. But we will be asking permission of them through these letters of mark and reprisal to go onto their territory to conduct these specific raids against these specific targets.
Historically on land. I've been trying to get rid of Bin Laden. They would love to have gotten rid of Bin Laden. However, they were incapable of doing it because of his support there. And so if we had issued a letter of mark and reprisal, I think the Afghan government would have said, sure, go ahead, you track down him, but we don't want to go to war. And the government of Afghanistan didn't want war, but our government did, and that's what 9/11 was all about. You had to have a lot of Americans die to convince the American people we had to go to war against Afghanistan, which led to the war with Iraq, which is eventually going to lead to a war with the entire Muslim world, and certainly Iran would appear to be the next target. Right now we're involved with the war on Syria. We have our forces, special forces in both Jordan and Turkey, training the Al-Qaeda forces which are attacking Syria. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're training and financing Al-Qaeda as it attacks Syria. What's wrong with this picture? We'll be back in a moment.
Herb's Meats and Specialty Foods sells hard-to-find clean meats for your family's table. Cured beef bacon, veal, turkey, and summer sausage, all pork-free. Also all available in collagen casings. That's right, collagen casings and pasture-raised, healthy, no hormones, no antibiotics beef at Herb's Meats and Specialty Foods in Broomfield. Call 303-499-8166 or stop by 1000 Depot Hill Road at the intersection of Highway 287 and 10th Avenue in Broomfield. Ask about shipping.
Custom Cabinet Shop is a locally owned and operated family business since 1980. So if you want fair and reasonable prices, personalized service, and excellence in workmanship for your refacing, repair, installation, millwork, or remodeling projects for your home and business, Custom Cabinet Shop can do the job for you. Call now for your free quote and on-site consultation, 303-340-1390. That's 303-340-1390. So Custom Cabinet Shop can attend to your every woodworking need. Cabinets to fit your taste, furniture to fill your space, and shelves to store more. Gun racks for what you pack. High-end, low-end, repair, reface, remodel, or replace. Mantles, ceilings, or trim. Whatever you need. Don't overpay for in-house calls, design consultations, or repairs. Call for your free quote and a single on-site visit to get your project rolling now. That's Custom Cabinet Shop, 303-340-1390. Find us on Facebook. Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Regardless of one's age, there is a living heritage, adventures, experience, and memories to share. So be sure to show how much you care by remembering an elderly family member, friend, or neighbor, by a ride to church, a trip shopping, or better yet, take the time to visit. Learn about life from the most experienced people in the world and make a difference. That's from Brush Housing Authority, reminding listeners for housing programs, call 970-845-5046. That's 970-845-5046. Brush Housing Authority on the air, because they care.
Well, and here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Pastor David Whitney, and Pastor Whitney, before we go on, I'd like you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with the Institute of the Constitution, how they can begin to learn about our Constitution, how they can begin then to teach others about the Constitution, because this movement is sweeping across America. People are learning about it. You're not going to hear about this on the media, because the last thing that the people who want a dictatorship in America want, the last thing they want, of course, is for the average individual to realize that the knowledge and understanding of the Constitution is increasing. More and more people are learning about this wonderful document, which is the basis of the law of this land and separates America from all of the other countries in the world. And those people who want a dictatorship in America, those people want to convince us we're a democracy. And whatever the government wants, why they can do, because we're a democracy. And democracy is the antithesis of freedom. And as Plato wrote so clearly in his writings, democracy always descends into despotism. And that is why the despots in America want you to believe we're a democracy, and we're not. We're a republic. Let's reclaim it. Go ahead, David. How can people get in touch with the Institute?
We have created what we call a host kit. That is, we know it kind of be intimidating for most folks to consider teaching the Constitution and the principles of law and government of our founders. So we've put together a host kit, 12 lectures that Michael Peruca and myself do that give people an understanding of our founders' view of law and government, and then give them a working knowledge of the founding documents, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and then subsequent amendments, and give them an understanding of what our founders meant by the words they put on paper. What did they mean to the founders? That's the only safe and fair way to interpret the Constitution. Then we also look at what has happened since then. How in the world do we go from the biblical absolutes of our founders to the relative humanism and evolutionary humanism of our day? How in the world did that happen, and what is the road back? And we call this host kit a turnkey method in which anybody can take this system, conduct a class in their home, conduct a class in their church and somewhere in the community, gather a group of friends and neighbors, family, people that they can begin to teach these principles to, because that's what's essential to restore our republic. To get a host kit, you can either call us toll-free here at Institute on the Constitution. That toll-free number is 1-866-730-9796. That toll-free number, again, for Institute on the Constitution is 1-866-730-9796. Or you can go to our website. We have a new title for our website, TheAmericanView.com. TheAmericanView.com. That's simply, there is a creator God. Our rights come from him. The purpose of government is to secure your God-given rights. That's The American View. So an easy way to remember our website, TheAmericanView.com. Right there on the front page is a button to click that will take you to the options that you have in terms of a host kit. Because not only do we offer the host kit now as a way to take the course, we also have an online course through Sherman Institute where you can study the materials of our host kit, basically in your own home, at your computer, stream the videos, download the documents, all the student notebook and the answer key, and everything that you need to take the course is right there. All the reading materials right there. We do mail you a couple of additional reading resources if you sign up for the online course, but that's also available. So go to our website, TheAmericanView.com. Click that for a host kit. And by the way, there's articles on my blog and Michael's blog, as well as all kinds of resources in our bookstore to help you understand our founders' view of law and government, help you understand what they meant by the words they put on paper. So to help you to teach others and help you to be part of this movement of restoring our constitutional republic. And Dr. Stan, it's exciting. I mean, as bad and as dark as the days are getting in our land, and this election cycle is just illustrative of that, the darker it gets, the more people I find are waking up. Say, I know something is desperately wrong in America. I'm not sure exactly what it is. And we say, you know, you can discover how to restore America. Get a host kit, begin a class, and begin with a small group of people, and you'll see that multiply. We have parts of the country where when a class graduates, the graduates from that class, or many of them, are starting classes of their own, and like a grass fire, it begins to multiply, and that's how we can take back our country. That's how we can restore the republic. And the encouraging thing, Dr. Stan, is anybody can do this. You don't have to be a teacher with any history background. You don't have to be a teacher at all. You don't have to have any law background. You're probably better off not having any of that, because you'll be have the wrong view of law and government before you get the right view. So anybody can do this, and we see that as people are taking this up, it is multiplying. There's parts of the country where I've been out to Western Ohio, graduated 1,500 people in the past couple of years here, and we see a rapid multiplication there. Just graduated a class down in North Carolina, and see those folks go on to conduct classes. It is multiplying around the country, and we invite your listeners to be part of the solution to the problem of what's taking place in America, and begin returning our country to a true constitutional republic by taking your part. Get a host kit. Call us at the Institute on the Constitution. That's 1-866-730-9796, or go to our website, theamericanview.com. Well, as we're talking about the issue of the war and declaring war, it's Congress's duty to declare war. The next item on the list, number 11, is to raise and support armies. Armies being a real generic term for non-naval forces, so you might say it's broad enough to include the Air Force, this term armies. But there's a two-year limitation built into this declaration of war. That is, after they declare war, they declare the funding for that war. But every 2 years, there has to be a reauthorization, in a sense, a redeclaration of war. The Army was intended to be temporary. And this is by design, because our founders knew that one of the playthings of tyrants are standing armies. Whenever there's a standing army, you can be assured that there will be a tyrant who eventually uses that standing army to tyrannize his own people. And that's exactly what we see with the National Defense Authorization Act that Obama signed on New Year's Eve. There was a New Year's Eve thank you gift from the Obaminator. He's decided that the military can come bust down your door any time of day or night, arrest you, haul you, throw you into prison without any trial, without any charges, without any evidence that you've done anything wrong whatsoever. Your 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th Amendments rights just swept away, and you become a political prisoner just as if you were in Soviet Russia, and you just disappear from the scene. This is the reason why you cannot have standing armies. And our founders did everything they could to prevent a standing army. The two-year limitation also was important because it meant that the congressmen who voted to declare war, those congressmen were going to stand for re-election before the reauthorization of that war or the redeclaration of that war would take place, which means the election itself could be a referendum on the war. Yeah, Congress may have declared war, but the people may not have wanted that war at all. And the result was, when this election took place, the people could get rid of the congressmen who voted for the war if they were against the war. And I haven't read
hold
the current...
Thought, David, hold the thought. We'll be back in this moment here at the American Freedom Network.
Herb's Meats and Specialty Foods sells hard-to-find clean meats for your family's table. Cured beef bacon, veal, turkey, and summer sausage, all pork-free. Also all available in collagen casings. That's right, collagen casings and pasture-raised, healthy, no hormones, no antibiotics beef at Herb's Meats and Specialty Foods in Broomfield. Call 303-499-8166 or stop by 1000 Depot Hill Road at the intersection of Highway 287 and 10th Avenue in Broomfield. Ask about shipping.
If drinking the purest natural artesian water is important to you, then thirst no longer. Fountain of Health, the nation's best natural pure water source located south of Brighton, is tested monthly and free from any surface water contamination. Fountain of Health provides refreshing natural artesian water from the lower Arapaho Aquifer. Bring your sterilized container or buy them at Fountain of Health, 13185 Brighton Road. That's 13185 Brighton Road, open 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Check them out at www.fountainofhealth.cc. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16.
The United States Constitution is a joke to politicians in Washington, D.C. Visit America527.org to help defend America from her enemies, foreign and domestic. We believe in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence. We believe in liberty. We believe that only patriots can keep liberty alive. Work with America527.org to save liberty in America. Visit America527.org today.
Well, Dr. Stan, here at the American Vision Network, our guest, of course, is Pastor David Whitney. We're talking about the Constitution. And if you do not know the Constitution, then you do not understand the foundation of our liberty or why we're losing it. Go ahead, Pastor.
Well, they wisely determined a two-year window so that the people basically could vote as a referendum on the war. And I think this last presidential election, in spite of what we've been told, was actually a referendum on the war. Barack, lying as he tends to do just about everything that comes out of his mouth anyway, you know, he promised to have a difference towards the war powers. And in fact, he's done exactly the same as his predecessor and the predecessor before him. There's no change at all in policy here regarding the war. But if the war and declaration of war were not in the president's hand, but in the Congress's hands, every 2 years, when they are reelected, that reelection will become a referendum on whether the people want the war to continue. So they were to raise and support armies because until there was a declaration of war, there was no standing army. The standing army only exists when the declaration of war took place. In a sense, it's not a standing army, it's a called army. And that declaration expires every 2 years unless the Congress reauthorizes it. Now, the two-year limitation indicates that armies were to be temporary and that they were to not be a standing army system. Now, it goes on to say in number 12, to provide and maintain a Navy. Last time I was teaching some of these principles to a group of people regarding the Maryland State Constitution, a person who was heavily involved in the military and been in the military for years raised an objection. They said, well, David, that's kind of interesting because in the time of our founders, you could have easily done that. But today we have such skilled posts in the military, in every area of the military, that we have to have people trained, and it takes years to train them. It isn't possible to depend any longer on a militia. And my response to them was that then those functions should not be part of the Army. Those functions should be part of the Navy. Anything that has to be a more permanent, ongoing function militarily should be in the Navy. The reason being, the Navy is out on the water. They do not have boots on the ground. They do not have permission to serve in any military function on land. And like they did during the War for Southern Independence, where the military was destroying houses and arresting citizens used illegally by the 16th president to arrest the legislature of the state of Maryland, for example, put them in prison, no charges, no crime, habeas corpus suspended, and so on. That is to be prohibited in our structure of government. The military is not to be used as a tool ever against the people of the country. It is only to protect from foreign invasion and attack. So the provide for maintain a Navy indicates a more permanent force. Anything that needs to be more permanent in terms of our military needs to be in the Navy, not in the Army. And the person's response was, well, I guess all the Navy folks would love to hear that because it would put more power in their pocket. Well, this was a design of our founders wisely. They also said in power number 13 that the rules for the discipline of the military forces were under the governance not of the president, not of the judiciary, but under the Congress. Congress was to develop the Uniform Code of Military Justice. The Uniform Code of Military Justice they designed. Alternatives or changes that take place are up to them. Then 14th in this list, all related again to the militia concept, is to provide for calling militia into federal service to do only three things: execute federal laws, suppress insurrections, and repel invasion. There is no need to call up the the militia to do anything other than those three things: execute federal laws, suppress insurrections, repel invasions. Before that point in time, the militia are under the control of the state governors. That is, they are not at the beck and call of the president. The president is not the chief of the military until there is a declaration of war, until the militia are federalized. They're no longer directly under the governance of the state governors, but become federalized. So actually, it's even on a lower level than that. In my state and many other states, there's legislation that prevents the governor from using the militia himself for any purpose he chooses. The state has to pass legislation that authorizes the governor to actually utilize the militia. The militia literally are under the control of the local county sheriff. They are the posse of that county, and the sheriff, if need be, can call up the posse of his county to enforce the laws or to deal with an insurrection or a riot or something of that nature, or repel invasion, as obviously on our southern border we are faced with invasions. The governors may not do anything, but the sheriffs of each of those counties could call up their posse, that is the militia of their county, and deal with that invasion that's taking place in their county. Now, if we understand the structure, our founders are very clear. The military power is to be strictly under civilian control at all times, and that whenever that posse is going to move up to the next level in terms of dealing with something on a state level rather than just a county level, there has to be legislative action to call it up to the next level. That is to be under the governor to deal with something on the state level. Or if it's going to be federalized, it must be Congress that declares war, calls up the state militias of the 50 states, and puts them at the beck and call then of the president. It's interesting to see, because people say that, David, well, we really do have that. It's called the National Guard. Well, think of the name, National Guard. No, that's not a state militia. It's not a state militia because it's really a quasi-militia versus a branch of the federal army. It's really a branch of the federal military, not so much at the beck and call of the state governors. The fact that proves that is that when Bush was reigning, and I use that term reigning on purpose, when Bush was reigning, there was this supposed war on terror going over there in the Middle East, and the governor of Montana was struggling because he had forest fires that were ravaging all parts of Montana, way out of control, and he needed help. So he wanted to call his Montana State National Guard back from military duty in the Middle East to the state of Montana to deal with the crisis that they were facing there in the state of Montana. And you know what Bush told him? No way. You're not getting your troops back. Sorry. I've got control of those troops. They're not under your control anymore. Wait a minute. There has been no declaration of war. So legally, constitutionally, Bush had no power over those members of the militia, if they were a state militia. And the governor had control over them because they hadn't been federalized with no declaration of war. And yet Bush said, no. These troops belong to me, and I'm going to do what I want with them, and you can't have them, Governor of Montana. Sorry, you're out of luck. So it illustrates that the National Guard, in spite of what many people like to think as a state militia, it is not truly a state militia, according to our founders.
Hold on, we'll be back in just a moment here with Pastor David Whitney.
If you're spending hard-earned money on supplements, you need to know about BioSuperfood because you're probably shortchanging yourself on nutrition and value. If you're buying products claiming to provide DNA protection from radiation, you're getting ripped off by inferior copycat products because there's no other product developed or researched like BioSuperfood. BioSuperfood is one complete superfood product that addresses radiation poisoning, allergies, arthritis, diabetes, high blood pressure, and other degenerative diseases. BioSuperfood helps digestion, decreases pain and inflammation, increases flexibility, improves heart health and brain function. It boosts your immune system and even inhibits the AIDS virus and cancerous cells. It's an antibacterial, antifungal, and anti-inflammatory. BioSuperfood is not another supplement. It's a whole food and contains over 5,000 nutrients. Call now and ask about your special discounts on your BioSuperfood purchase at 303-257-7576. That's 303-257-7576 or biosuperfood@hotmail.com.
And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace.
For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Well, I stand here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest, Pastor David Whitney. David, thank you so very much for being with us. We look forward to having you again with us next month.
Oh, it's a blessing, Dr. Stan. Thank you for your work.
One more time, your address, so people have their web and address and telephone number.
Yes, our web address at Institute on the Constitution is The American View, all one word, theamericanview.com. And our toll-free number to call us here at Institute on the Constitution is 1-866-730-9796. We encourage everyone to get a host kit and begin restoring the republic in your community. That grass fire is needed everywhere to bring us back to constitutional government.
Amen. God bless. Thanks.
God bless you, Dr. Stan.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and it's so vitally important that you out there in the audience learn the Constitution. Get a host kit. Begin teaching it in your church. This has to be the fundamental. We can't reclaim something we don't understand. And most people do not understand. The whole idea of the American government was to limit the power of government to 18 specific things, and it could not do anything else. The power of the federal government was limited and defined according to the 45th of the Federalist Papers. The power of the state government was unlimited and ill-defined and dealt with life, liberty, and property. And, of course, there is a group who wants to be a dictatorship in America. They are a secret cabal. That's how David Rockefeller describes them in his book Memoirs, where he says, you know, some people say, well, my family and I are part of a secret cabal that is working against it. Our best interest in the United States, conspiring with others to bring about a more integrated global economic and community. And if that is the charge, I am guilty, and I am proud of it. Those are his words, not mine. You'll find them on page 405 of Memoirs by David Rockefeller. We have the book. You can get the book from us. Also, of course, why we've criminalized going down to visit Fidel Castro. Yet David Rockefeller's daughters go down to visit Fidel on a regular basis, and Fidel has come up to visit David Rockefeller and to speak before the Council on Foreign Relations. Why is that important? Because this whole war on communism is as phony as the war on terrorism, as the war on Nazism was during the Second World War, when American corporations were in Germany building the weapons that were being used to kill American soldiers, and not one of the Americans who headed the 100 American corporations was ever punished. And just as today, we're funding the world terrorist movement so we can go over and have our boys killed fighting terrorism, and they will have nuclear weapons to use on America. And that is what the Sybil Edmonds story is about. You better find out what this is all about and help us get the word out. It is the most incredible story. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. My talk on the dark secret and the forbidden secret. You need to get our new DVDs, certainly. Betty Martini talking on aspartame. Rosalind Peterson talking about chemtrails and contrails and engineering, because they're poisoning. They're poisoning our forests and our trees and our fish and our water and our air and our children. You need to get to the Norman Dodd interview, Dangerous Deception. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Please help this interview. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
Why do the nations rage, and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us." Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3.
Holy is the Lord.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty,